This one lightens things up a bit, which you will probably all welcome. It's a poem that was written under the influence, I would say, of Catherine Kidd. I'd been reading her poem, Bipolar Bear, and her rhythms got lodged into my consciousness, and so my own bear poem came out in a similar kind of voice. And so this is sort of, it's an exploration of layers of history and story and imagination and travel and the real and the virtual. And we're back in the Jardin des Plantes again. A brief history of the bear pit in the Ménagerie du Jardin des Plantes. As though the bear were never here in this pit beside the statue of a bear, were never more than a snuff and a reference, probably wrong. We're never down there, nosing the bars, its back water-dappled amidst the massacre of chestnut blossoms fallen from a high place that was never grace. Last time, a vacant pit, and a sign promising next time a red panda, compact of face and almost ursine in its lope. Last time, I didn't know that next time I'd hold in my arms a girl who'd hold to her chest a bear in a dress, made in China, I'll bet, a bee strung to its back, the better to gather honey, though it's straight to her mouth with the bee, for she who's never seen a being larger than me, unless you count trees. She can't imagine the bear in its dark never there, though she's heard that song of bears caught unawares in the woods where she mustn't go. Those are bears with bedtimes, bears who are us, and there was never a bear who was not us, not in any old wood, not in that peered into place. I went there when the bear was there. I know. I've got photos to show. Now, not that I'm there, I haven't gone back, but online I find in a digital flicker two of them perched in an area of wood. Now a red panda ambles in a pit beside a statue that attempts to attest to a once there bear. No word of the bear from the war, who did not, it seems, go as I once read, shot dead, its head in a Nazi helmet. Though if I tell it enough, it's true, for the girl and me, too, the story and this one, buffed, set. So I'll just read two more from the book, and then something newer. So this is a speculation about the future of zoos. One of the reasons I embarked on this project was to try and come to terms with my ambivalence about zoos, and ultimately, I found more confusion rather than any kind of clarity, which, of course, I should have known would be the case. So although, on the one hand, I would like to contemplate a future in which animals didn't have to exist in the confined conditions of zoos, at the same time, I'm aware that there are many species that only exist now or primarily exist within zoos. So it's not a simple question for me to resolve. So this is when we stop visiting. The keepers will keep on keeping, as they stirred the tanks in Budapest during the siege to stop the sharks from freezing into aspic. They will starve themselves to keep the panda in bamboo, orangutan in inner tubes and rubber bands. The gates will rust open on their hinges, below apartment windows from which a grand architecture splays, dotted with giraffes' backs and narrow shadows. Into a pot will clink a few donations to return them to where they come from, though they no longer come from there. Coming upon photos, we'll remember how our miniature hands were held back from their mouths. And this is the last poem in the book. It's another Life of the Mind poem. Life of the Mind, Night. Yes, this vessel outstreams fate. This might be the Nile or another mouth. We gather on the deck between above and under. All the unimagined constellations. The steamer forges. Blue goes the owl and the ticking bats, churning where the river meets the sea. The votive dragon, phoenix stitched of silk and knot of fire on the water. The water locomotive and the dog star and the Isle of Dogs. And heaven upon the waters. So I'm now shifting, but not really shifting, because I feel as though the more I write, the more everything feels like it's coming from the same place or from the same kinds of concerns. So this is part of a long poem, possibly a very long poem. I'm not sure yet because I'm still wading around in it. And the impetus for this project was an exhibition that I saw here, I guess 3 years ago now, photographs by Robert Polidori, whose work I had seen before and I had always resisted writing about. His pictures are primarily of rooms, which is part of the reason I resisted writing about it, because I'm always writing about rooms. And then I thought maybe I just need to try and figure out why I'm always writing about rooms. And the rooms in particular are in places that have gone through some kind of a disaster. For example, he went to Chernobyl many years after the nuclear disaster there and took photographs of, you know, a classroom with a tree growing up through the floor, for example. And the poems, or the excerpts of the poem that I'm reading here are more inspired by his photographs of rooms in New Orleans after Hurricane Katrina, and also just by that disaster itself. And I should clarify as well that for the purpose of the reading, I've drawn all of these little sections together, but ultimately within the poem, I envision them being quite disparate, and there are other subjects that will come up in between these poems, so it won't have the kind of focus that I'm offering here. But to excerpt from something that big without focusing it feels frustrating and unfair to the poem and to the audience, I think. So it's tentatively called Long Exposure, and it begins with a quote from from Polidori, who was born in Montreal, by the way, a quote in which he is paraphrasing the German photographer Dieter Appelt. "The snapshot is of a moment that will never occur again. The long exposure is of a moment that never occurred to begin with." The red dress, a crescendo off-center, a southern comfort poster, a cloud of feathers on a wheelchair. Someone bought a shoe tree. Someone hung a mirror. Someone did not go to the French Quarter unless visitors were visiting, which didn't happen often. Someone suspended a trio of baskets from the ceiling. Someone thought, this will be useful. This was not supposed to happen. There are no bodies in the photographs, no living, no dead. Some went to Atlanta, many went to Dallas. Does the man at the Camellia Grill still intone swing low as he froths the stuff of an omelet in a blender? The water didn't get that far, but the water got everywhere. Dogs barked on roofs. The hospitality of pineapple bedposts darkened. All those people in the Superdome while the roof began to lift, screeching one imagines, the roof, the people, those with spindles for legs and those with dumplings, those who were, for the most part, one couldn't not notice, black, whose skin was, who were too poor or stubborn or frail or alone to go. What's left of theirs, the part most deemed the best, the quarter they call French, the part most wanted left, and yet the lives that made it live have left. In their rooms, frames with nothing left. Or the intention of rooms, planks held by nails and spaces, what all our houses are, just bones. Water did this, gathered itself to itself, breathed fire, breathed water, breathed a wind that lifted lives and set them down some other place. For the one who left, this bed is not remembered. He's too busy greeting shoppers in Texas to see it on a wall or on the web. This was not decadence, a canopy of ash. It was where he fell at the end of the day or fucked when lucky. The image vanished from the frame was tacky. This article may be too long to read and navigate comfortably. The room you spent a lifetime setting up and settling into settles a little more daily without you. You have fled to a wind-whipped stadium, to a suit inside a shelter, to where the jobs are, to a U-sized space to lie in, to a flame that makes you ash enough to fill a coffee can, if that. Just the other day, this was all yours. You tossed your jacket on the chair back, winced into a plum. Google Polidori images. The screen fills. Pick one. Click. Make it bigger. Two matching frames, Baroque corners. A chandelier, the bulbs lifted like wicks. A sandal, a car mat, the debris black. The caption is an address. Around the corner, someone might still live. Before appears in technicolor, a girl home from school slams the door, angry in a minor way the future won't permit her. No one notices the wallpaper, the 70s flock thick as mildew, as if in ironic foreshadowing of what water will do. Only after is this called before. Google Maps, enter the address, click on the little orange man, drag me to the map. Lift, it feels like lifting, all in the wrist. Set him down there. There is a field and a bridge, the letter A in a red bulb in the field. The image changes. A sidewalk, a driveway in hot grass. Where a house was, a patch barren of grass. A shadow of a tree across the barren patch. Sometimes of year, there might be chicory. Those Florida subdivisions they never got around to building look not unlike this. The pavement cracked, the long grass. It all comes back, except what doesn't. Thanks very much.